You're on FBI 94.5. That's Faisal Mostrix and Karan In My Soul. Before it, you caught Fortet's Baby and Ground Patrol from Sydney with Quake. Bridie with you right now.
Welcome to Movies, Movies, Movies on Mornings with Bridie Tanner.
Both Film Lords, Jen and Andre, are with me. Jen, who's just gotten out of self-quarantine in Adelaide, and Ange, good to have you both here.
Thank you. I've come out of self-quarantine from Jen.
So nice to be back.
Now, you're offering something very special to our listeners today. Not only will you recommend a film based on what they've been watching, what they might like, but you will we-transfer that film to them if they text in.
Indeed. In this tumultuous time, we want to fill your inboxes with recommendations of things to watch.
Not just recommendations. I'm going to send the hard illegal copies straight into your inbox because all bets are off at this point.
No viruses?
No cinemas.
Movie news.
I want you to see if you can guess what the two most Googled films in Italy are right now. Go on, have a little guess.
Oh, I guessed Parasite before.
The Beach.
The Beach. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
2012.
I'm still going with Parasite.
Jeepers Creepers. Darkness Falls.
Let's do a grand reveal.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm going to play it.
I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. Come on, let's go. I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. So glad you found my lost gloves at the department store where you work. And so I wanted to thank you at the traditional two-woman light lunch with no other agenda whatsoever. I'm Carol.
My name is Kumail. I'll be serving you guys today. Do you want to order now or should we wait for your husbands?
Good one.
Carol! Funnily enough, two of the most searched films on Italian Google are Harry Potter and the Todd Haynes film Carol, starring Cate Blanchett. And we at the studio have been talking, asking questions, why is Carol suddenly on everyone's minds in the quarantined country of Italy?
But before we get there, I can tell you why Harry Potter's on people's minds.
Why?
Well, Daniel Radcliffe just went to the press and said that filming the entirety of the Harry Potter series drove him to drink, to which my best friend said, me too.
I second that. My theory about Carol being so popular in Italy is that Luca Guadagnino's films have already been beloved and watched so many times. We're talking Call Me By Your Name, I Am Love, that people are looking for the next Luca film, and Carol kind of fits that.
I also think it's just because it's about a lost glove, and everyone in Italy has been losing gloves this week.
Losing themselves, losing gloves.
Singing together.
But also, Carol features a lot of restaurant eating, and I think Italians are missing the hospitality of restaurants as a place of safety. Jenna, how much can we stretch this news?
let's move along, let's move along. More cancellations for big film festivals.
Yes, so it was on everyone's minds. Was Cannes Film Festival, the so-called biggest film event of the year, going to be cancelled?
Was Sydney Film Festival, which is a little bit more accessible to our listeners, going to be cancelled?
Cannes was happening in May, Sydney Film Festival June, and it's official both events have been called off. For Cannes, it was a decision that kind of came after the president said no gatherings of more than 1,000 people. Cannes' response was, our cinemas are 1,200 seaters, so we can maybe split up the screening so people can still go to the movies, but now it's official, the event has been postponed.
But sadder than all of that, the Australian premiere of Trolls has been cancelled, so Anna Kendrick won't be flying here.
We were going to speak with the star of Twilight and Up in the Air, but unfortunately that will no longer go ahead. Back to Sydney though, because everyone's wondering how the Sydney Film Festival cancellation is going to affect the local Sydney scene. Sydney Film Festival is well known for showcasing Sydney films and films by Sydney filmmakers. I mean, just last year we had two huge moments in Sydney film with the premieres of Suburban Wildlife and Sequin in a Blue Room, which went on to do quite well. Sequin in a Blue Room went on to be nominated for an actor award. So this is potentially a detour for local films that want to make it on a large platform, large scale.
So get creative.
Yeah. Is there any workaround with film festivals? Can there be, like, could they do, like, online?
I don't know what's
screenings?
So ironic is that film festivals haven't learned that. Oh, Jen's mad that I interrupted.
I would just like you to, like, not talk from a place of ignorance. If you're in the industry, can you please text in what's happening? Like, I would love to know, hear stories from people who've maybe lost their jobs working on film sets. If someone was working on Elvis, we'd love to hear from you. I'd also love to hear from anyone from any of the major festivals about how their workarounds are going, whether they're going to put things online, and what the end of the year, well, like, what is the film slate going to be look like this year? Because if you don't have festivals, you don't have distributors buying films, you don't have films in cinemas, you don't have cinemas, like, what's going to happen?
And a broader question that we're going to be asking is the Academy Awards that are going to happen next year, are they going to start qualifying films that appear online? Because there was a big rule that you couldn't be nominated for an Oscar if your film wasn't distributed in theatres. But now that theatres are closing, it begs the question, is the film industry just going to exist in the virtual world?
And Netflix did just offer a $100 million buffer to all of their creatives. So it does look like they're going to do kind of okay.
You're going to have to keep up with movies, movies, movies if you want the latest in all this cinema news that's happening in the age of coronavirus. Now, last thing before we get to two reviews, what's happening with Paul Thomas Anderson and Quarantino?
Denton Quarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson, along with the film festivals, have been cancelled. No, not fully cancelled, but
pretty much cancelled.
Cocaine got cancelled, actually, by Fiona Apple, who she had an interview recently about her upcoming album, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, with our favourite New Yorker culture writer, Emily Nussbaum, and she said every addict should just get locked in a private movie theatre with QT and PTA on coke and they'll never want to do it again.
Well, luckily all movie theatres are closed because I don't want to see that.
She also said that she wrote the bridge to this song, Fast As You Can, after being at a weird, weird party at Johnny Depp's house.
Let's take a listen on Movies, 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 FBI 94.5, Fast As You Can by Fiona Apple. Two reviews when we return. I'm a beast in too soon. I don't know how to live without my headless throat. I fight them always and still. Oh, darling, it's so sweet. You think you know how crazy I am. You say you don't spook easy, you won't go, but I know. Fast as you can, baby, run, free yourself up as fast as you can. I may be soft in your palm, but I'll soon go hungry for a fight, and I will not let you in. My pretty mouth will frame the phrases that will disprove your faith in me.
Best.
fast as you can by Fiona Apple. Recommended by the Film Lords, Jen and Andre, joining me in the studio for Movies, Movies, Movies this Monday, the 23rd of March. One! No, no, no. Two reviews. Two reviews.
Give me more reviews!
Two reviews.
Two reviews.
Two reviews.
Two reviews.
Two
reviews.
Film Lord Andre going first, reviewing The Bisexual.
C'est vrai. Let's play that sting.
I'm just getting out of a 10-year relationship.
She's totally on board. She thinks it's a really good idea.
Don't go.
You can still love and support each other and be on a break.
The Bisexual, Ange, what did you reckon?
So we have picked two texts by Desiree Akhavan, who is an amazing American indie filmmaker known for The Miseducation of Cameron Post. We're going to interview her this week and bring that to you the next episode. So we're going to start with her TV show, which is on Hulu and BBC. So we're talking American indie in London. And Desiree, what can we say about her? She's a queer cinephile nerd who probably read too much J.D. Salinger and has made a text which could possibly be about the least appealing thing in the queer community, which is labels. So this is a show set in London about her ups and downs as a bisexual. And it just dives into all the stuff that queer people hate. Pretentious, self-important documentary filmmakers, Cards Against Humanity, performance art in cafes, season 2 of L Word, and also things that queer people love. Simian Mobile Disco, Takeaway Curry, Dating Tutors. Stylistically, this show makes me ask questions because traditionally I would have thought that a show that is a really deep, like self-centered exploration of relationships would have worked better in a movie format. And she is known for two killer indie films that kind of blew up in the indie film festival scene. So the idea of doing a show strikes me as a bit odd. It's only 6 episodes. So I'm wondering, oh, is this the right timeline? Do you need more time to expand on this? Do you need less time? And also handheld sex scenes. What's up with them? It's infuriating as a stylistic choice because in a TV show, you can't show genitals and you can't show the intimacy that porn shows when porn does handheld. So I always wonder why you...
What's
the point in holding the camera and making it jiggle if you're not going to get jiggy with
there.
It? If you're not going to go there. But also Desiree's acting style is schmick and span. It's almost like a gallery art performance set outside. It's cold, blunt, funny, serious. A piss take, but also very personal. Again, why a TV show? I don't know. But it's online, and that's maybe where we're all going to be in the next few days. The Bisexual. Jen, chime in.
The Bisexual. Erase it or not?
Erase it?
Erase it or not.
Oh, well, you know, I do make jokes about bi erasure. Funnily enough, this show does feature a recycled joke from 30 Rock, and I challenge listeners to try and find it.
You better be careful. Everyone who listens to FBI radio is a bisexual.
Indeed, indeed. And this show really explores what it means to have biphobia, I think.
You're on Movies, Movies, Movies. In the middle of two reviews, you just heard the Andre's review of The Bisexual, a show which is on Stan?
It's on Stan in Australia. It's a show made for Hulu and BBC, but it's on Stan.
Great. And what would you give it in a word?
Bisexual, to be honest. Just bisexual.
Sister. The sister's so good at this.
The sister.
I can't believe you didn't talk about her sister who's
I missed
in this
that.
And is just absolutely staunch and disapproves of every choice that she makes.
Yeah, this show is not Sister Erasure, which I love. Okay. Chef's kiss.
Bisexual and Sister. Jen, let's get to your review by the same director, Desiree. This is Appropriate Behaviour.
May I help you? I'm looking for the grown-up underwear of a woman in charge of her sexuality and not afraid of change.
I'm Shireen.
What is that, Libyan, Armenian?
Iranian.
Iranian, wow.
Tell me, what is the scene like in Tehran?
I spend most of my time in Iran watching Disney videos with my grandmother while she untangles jewelry.
Ooh, okay. Similar vibe, appropriate behaviour.
Similar vibe.
This one's not a TV show.
This is a movie. This is kind of an old movie, but you can find it online. And it's kind of, you know, it's around the girls' era of cinema when people realised that they weren't seeing a reflection of themselves on screen. So they were just writing their own stuff, directing their own stuff, writing their own lines, which was way better than anything else that the machine was churning out. I feel like Desiree Akhavan is a second coming of Lisa Cholodenko, or is that just me pinkwashing? If you haven't got into Lisa Cholodenko, just Google her after. That's another auteur to watch in isolation.
Auteur with an E.
Auteur with an auteur. Honestly, I'm over auteurs altogether. But she's basically been erased from the industry as well. Afterwards, she made The Miseducation of Cameron Post, which was also a period film. I guess Appropriate Behavior is a period film because it's about dating and we can't do that anymore. So I feel like Boy Erased maybe erased Miseducation of Cameron Post a little bit. That's what they said. It was two films in 1 year about gay conversion therapy. She's come out and you know what? She's always better at casting. She's better at dialogue. She's better at acting. I think the thing about Appropriate Behavior that I realized halfway through it is that everyone makes a film about a breakup, but this film makes you feel like when you get to the end of it, that maybe you are over your own breakup. It's not just watching someone else air out their dirty laundry. I'm looking at you, Shia LaBeouf in Honeyland. I'm looking at you, Tame Impala, Kevin Parker. She actually gives you some closure in a way that feels helpful.
I want to bring you up on a point real quick. Desiree is a cooler...
Bridie had her hand up first.
Desiree is a cooler Shia LaBeouf. Bridie, go for it.
Oh, I was just going to mention later in the show, we're talking about breakups on Let's Talk About Sex and how what to do in the interim between your last long-term relationship and possibly your next one, which sounds like this movie could be a good one to
watch. This movie is all about that. She gets a job being a film teacher to five-year-olds, which she wasn't expecting. Basically, the film is processing all the red flags at the same time as recovering. And one of the first red flags is when they buy weed together, they're sitting in bed, smoking up, looking at each other, having a conversation. And she brings up this episode of Sex and the City when Carrie had to write a kid's book and made all the little girls smoke magic cigarettes. And the other, like the girl she's just started dating is like, I don't find that funny. I don't find Sex and the City entertaining. And it's like the first red flag of their relationship.
Mm. No one's saying this, but...
She says, what do you watch? Lord of the Rings?
Okay. Desiree's funny. That's the bottom line, is that she's funny. She knows how to direct. She knows how to write.
And we can't wait to interview her this week.
We're so stoked. We can't wait. We're huge fans.
Looking forward to hearing from the director of both of the two reviews today, The Bisexual and, as Jen just reviewed, Appropriate Behavior. What would you give that movie in a word?
Funny.
Two friends. Reminds me of that Jane Campion film that no one can see.
You hear that? Desiree reminds us of a Jane Campion film that we haven't seen.
Let's go to a track now from Terza, Fine Again. What's coming up next on Sydney Spotlight?
We'll see. We'll keep you guessing.
Mysterious.
Quarantine tips.
That's right.
FBI 94.5, Movies, Movies, Movies. This is Fine Again.
Make you fine again. I'll make you. Just want you to know that I'm here for you. You make me stronger, so I'm here to catch you. Don't worry about worries, I won't let them get you. Thank you.
Fine Again by Terza.
What's happening?
Movies, yeah, I'm Sydney. Movies, movies.
Sydney Spotlight.
Jen and Ange join me on Movies, Movies, Movies here on Mornings FBI 94.5. And you've spoken to someone who is a principal coronavirus advisor in Australia to get his take on outbreak movies, on disaster movies, which ones you should watch and are accurate, and which ones you should avoid.
Yeah.
What did you find out?
We found out a lot of things. Firstly, that a lot of doctors are actually under embargo, which means they can't speak to journalists because so much information is circulating, they don't want to add to the huge torrent that's out there. So any film that you see where journalists and doctors are like collaborating, cut it out. Yes.
I just wanted to point something out I saw online the other day. Someone mentioned a movie trope of disaster films where the experts are like, oh, nobody's listening to us in the government. And it seems to be in all the different, you know, like Day Before Tomorrow, all those sorts of movies. But it's actually not just a cinema trope. It just seems to be a trope of real life.
Oh. Yeah. No surprises there, I guess. PPE, which is personal protective equipment, which includes goggles, mask and gown, is what doctors should be wearing in every film about a virus. If they're not, then it's totally fake and gay. In the film, you need to be drinking safely and sensibly, and if anyone's affected by a virus, they shouldn't be experiencing moral panic. They should just be remaining calm and reaching out to friends and support networks. Jen, do you want me to keep going?
Just for me, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I always get annoyed when people do bad CPR on screen.
Bad CPR?
Yeah, bad CPR really just like takes me out of it. You know when people pump like 3 times and then cry? It's like, pump a few more times, pump 30 times. Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can save a life.
And it's not like one pump and then a breath. It's like 24 pumps or something, isn't it? And then a breath.
Jen's a 24 pump gal. another trope in films that needs to be in an accurate virus representation is you just need to avoid the miracle cure. Miracle cures don't exist. So many sci-fi films that have the plot point where finally they discover the magical remedy for what is destroying the Earth. And that is just completely illogical and impossible. Instead, films that grapple with the difficulty of public health measures that affect people and restrict them in considerable ways is way more authentic.
His main like piece of advice was there are certain films you shouldn't be watching right now because they will stress you out, which is also kind of what I've been indulging in already.
Yeah, a lot of people are watching their top 10 favourite outbreak films or end of the world films, but that's actually not good for you.
He's just like, don't watch stuff that shows society collapsing right now. That's so unhelpful. Like, don't watch 28 Weeks Later.
But do you know,
don't watch Bird Box.
Yeah.
Don't watch 2012.
We asked him, we just said, give us the film that no one should watch right now. And he said Bird Box, which is the Sandra Bullock film about this weird hallucinatory virus that attacks the world through like blindness. So the whole film is set with people wearing blindfolds.
But then he said, watch Scrubs, House and Glee. And I'm like, okay, I'll leave coronavirus to you, but I'm going to take control of what you should be watching. Mm-hmm. I know what we can't be watching, but I'm not about to go and watch Scrubs.
Mm. Oh, come on.
He said it's because you should find a frivolous medical show that you should watch, like Scrubs. And Grey's Anatomy, which
I kind
of understand.
Who wants to be in a hospital right now? No one's going to be treated in actual hospitals.
Okay,
like,
Jen,
I want something out on the ground.
Well, why don't you give us a recommendation, Jen? What would you watch?
Okay, so what I would watch is Sydney's runaway granny vid artist, Joe Pohl, who was the most prolific, amazing filmmaker in Sydney, but has left us for Lismore, has the best YouTube channel filled with playlists and original work.
Say the name again.
Joe Pohl.
We'll chuck a link up on the program page, fbiradio.com.
Y'all should revisit Black Comedy, which is the, help me out here, SBS or ABC?
ABC.
ABC show that's about to disappear. It's been going for
but
how many seasons?
Six or seven seasons. They're all good. I also go on the YouTube channel and just watch all of their skits.
Blue by Derek Jarman. It's just blue the whole time with sounds. We're talking a lot about queer cinema online. Last week it was Shakedown. This week it's Desiree Arkavan. And we're also recommending some Derek Jarman films.
I'm not recommending every Derek Jarman film. I'm recommending Blue, which was a film that he made when he got AIDS and he was going blind. He also wrote a book called Chroma. He's like this really famous queer British director. They're trying to save his garden right now. But he made this film about the colour blue and how it feels to be a filmmaker making films while you're blind and suffering from like an incurable disease.
The most interesting part about that is a blind filmmaker making a film.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
And then, to make you feel really good, go see PP Manor by Cola Scholar, one of our favourite filmmakers and comedians, and it was the pilot for a TV show that never took off, and it's all about this woman who goes to a town escaping something I wish we had a clip for
featuring Amy Sedaris.
And if you're chewing through all your data watching movies online as I am, why not make something on your phone?
Oofed. That's what we're doing.
Why not write a letter to the government and ask for free data?
Free data.
But also make something on your own, make something for friends, and let's shift this industry.
Jen and Andre, thank you so much for coming in with Movies, Movies, Movies today, keeping us up to date with everything that's happening in the world of cinema. We'll catch you next Monday with your interview with Desiree. You can listen back on the podcast and check out at @movies_movies_movies_ for two reviews on Instagram. Here's one from Mazda 3. This is Untitled, Friday with you on Mornings. We've got some binge juice coming up next. New music from Sydney.
This podcast is produced by FBI Radio in Sydney. Find more at fbiradio.com/podcasts.